Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. I was very touched this week because during this week there were very amazing programs to celebrate that on Wednesday was the 50th anniversary on the March on Washington. The 50th anniversary when we heard Martin Luther King's speech, which included, "I Have a Dream." And I printed out that speech. It riveted me when I first heard it, and I needed to see the words. And I need to repeat two of these sentences from that speech because they really, to me, reflect today's gospel. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. Martin Luther King had a dream. God has a dream. God's dream has been, is now, and always will be that we on this one planet Earth are meant to be one family. God's dream is that all of us are invited to one table. Jesus caught the dream. The dream of God was his mission. It was his vision. It was always on his mind. So he's invited to a dinner with Pharisees. Pharisees are not really his closest friends, are they? They're always waiting to catch him, to ask the right question. Okay, this next question will be it. We'll get him this time. But Jesus goes to this dinner and they watch him closely. He knows that, and so he hooks them in, referring to wisdom literature, as we heard in the first reading from Sirach. Wisdom literature dealt with how gracefully do we do the details of life. And so Jesus refers actually to a verse from Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 6 and 7. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. So Jesus hooked them in. They probably said, ah, wisdom literature, very good. And then Jesus goes off. And throughout Luke's gospel, we see Jesus at meals. And now this is building up, because now at this meal, Jesus is talking about a dream. The dream of the reign of God, that everyone is meant to be equal at the table. The least, the marginalized, all are called to be at this table. So to be at this table, for us to be at this table, for us to have people at our table, to be in our church, maybe we need to move forward from insulated places and insulated ideas that we need to break down for ourselves. What are our perceived boundaries? Are they national, ethnic, racial, cultural, class? Because at this table included are Syrians and Egyptians. We don't know all the intense beginnings of how painful all that's going on in the Mideast. But we do know that we have it in ourselves to do injustice, to be violent. But God's dream is that we are all one. So we're jarred sometimes when we see on the news or hear things, and yet it almost feels too distant sometimes. But we're called to see it, hear it, feel it, believe it, and do something. Because in the second reading, we hear, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, you might be entertaining angels. But here are two sentences that really zero in on feeling it and doing something about it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. God calls us to see it, to hear it, to feel it, to believe it, and do something. We actually are doing something. We have something special going on here. We have not arrived. We're on the way. All of us are on the way. I think all of you get a glimpse of the dream of God, that it's bigger than we are, bigger than our parish. So, for instance, I think all of you are aware of that we serve at a ministry at St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Long Beach. There's a breakfast ministry. How many of you are aware of that? And how many of you are aware that we have bins in the hall, big, big trash bins for clothes and things for St. Luke's, for Mama Hills, for Harbor Interfaith, for outreach to the military? Simple opportunities to feel it, believe it, and do something. Now, yesterday, our shepherd for outreach, Jane Bray, was at a meeting at St. Luke's for all the parishes involved in helping the homeless. Because St. Luke's is right there embedded farther away than we are from availability to the homeless. St. Luke's is right there. So Jane was at this meeting, and the leader of this meeting commented on the people of St. Francis. She can't get over that the group that goes there every other month is always willing to do whatever is needed. Now, the group that goes know that their task is to arrive at 6:30, get the coffee ready, get everything set out. And the night before, our youth group has cooked 300 to 400 hard-boiled eggs, no easy matter for 12 teenagers to do. In fact, a couple months ago, one of our youth in the junior high got his raw eggs, went over, dropped them in, and then lifted them out and walked back. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm helping with the hard-boiled eggs." I said, "You have to cook them." So he went and put them back. Anyway, on this meeting yesterday, Jane heard, you know, that we allow ourselves to do beyond what we're asked sometimes. And one of those occasions, and I heard about this, there was a particular Saturday morning when Sue was there with her granddaughter. And the head of that morning came up and said, "We need help in the clothes department. We don't have enough people distributing clothes." So the process at the homeless ministry is that the homeless first take a shower, and then they can come and get some new clothes, and then they go eat the breakfast that's been ready by some parish. Well, on this particular day, Sue's granddaughter, a teenager, took it upon herself to become a personal shopper for the homeless. She gave dignity to some of the women she was helping. She looked at them. See it, hear it, believe it, do it. She looked at them for who they were. Said, I think you need this outfit over here, and these shoes will go well with it. That is amazing. That is part of the dream of God. That to any human being, we are helping them feel we are a part of being at one table. Now, once in a while, we have homeless that come here. And a few of them arrive on a regular basis. And one woman comes or calls every other month. And so the last few months she has called and she's needed help with food. And the last 2 months she has said, and she's in her 70s, I can't walk all the way up the hill. Would you come down and give it to me? So 2 weeks ago when she called, I said, yes, where are you? And I had already made an appointment for a pastoral ministry call. And I said to myself, I will drop this off and then go to this pastoral ministry appointment. So she said, Narbonne and PCH. So I recognize I'm running late. I come down the hill. I go over to Narbonne and PCH. I'm in the car. I have the car running. She comes up to the window and I see her. And I start talking and asking how she is, and I turn off my motor. And I just want to be in the moment with her. That's what this is all about. The bottom line is to be in any moment with any person that you are with, because that's seeing them, hearing them, believing in them. That is God's dream. We are Christ's hands and heart and mouth and feet. We are it in any given moment. So I finished being with her, and I will not forget her. It's not a matter of finishing. I shouldn't have said that word. So I left her, and of course I was late for the next appointment. That doesn't matter in God's world, does it? God's dream is bigger than our appointments. There is a particular ministry that works primarily with people who are developmentally disabled. It's called L'Arche. It was founded by Jean Vanier, brilliant man, a leader in the Navy, comes out of the Navy, decorated, and becomes a philosophy teacher and a theologian. And one day, a priest friend invited him to come with him to an institution. He was in France. And he meets the developmentally disabled that are institutionalized. And he finds out that two of them are there simply because both sets of parents died. There was no one else who was willing to take care of them. They were marginally disabled, and now they're there. So Jean Vanier decides, I want to take them home. He sees them, hears them for who they are, and takes them home. Does all the paperwork required to do this, and starts a ministry called L'Arche. Now it's international. So to prepare for this sermon, I went online. I want to know a little bit more about Jean Vanier. And so I see the 7-minute BBC video of several years ago. So I watched this 7-minute video, and during this video, the gospel that he refers to was today's gospel. Who do you invite to your table? And he invites the marginally, developmentally disabled to his table. Because he said, all they want is to be seen and heard. Because that's how relationship starts. That's how we are affirmed. That's how we begin to connect and feel one. So there at his table, and all over the world now, there are large communities that provide one-on-one relationships, adult with another adult, and they're all invited to the table. So here we are. I invite you to carry with you God's dream that we are all one. And we live out this God's dream with the same freedom that Jesus did. So he goes to the Pharisee's house, not out of fear, because he knows they don't like him. He goes there out of love. He's in the room to heal the room. Freedom comes in communion. Freedom comes when we're love-based, not fear-based. And freedom comes, I think, really rooted in a prayerful attitude, rooted in God. And that prayerful attitude of rooted in God, to be a part of God's dream, is that prayer is letting God change your mind. Prayer is not you focused trying to change God's mind for your intentions. It's God's dream. We are a part of God's dream. So may we pray that God changes our hearts and minds to see and hear, to believe and do. This is what Jean Vanier says. The fundamental principle of peace is a belief that each person is important. Do you believe you are important? Do you believe that we can do something to make this world a better place? Why is the gap between the rich and the poor, the powerful and the powerless, growing? There can be no peace unless we can become aware of where this growing gap comes from. So may we humbly know that we are in the gap, but we are not alone with the answer, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.